Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation.
My mic on. Hello, everyone. Hey, how y'all doing out there? I know it's rough. It's been rough for me, too. It's been a rough month. The challenges we're going through. There's so much happening on the physical plane. Okay, on the emotional, mental planes. On the spiritual plane. But most of what we hear is on the physical plane. So we're going to talk about some spiritual matters today. And God willing, we'll get through this. And we'll understand that it's okay. It's all right for us to be depressed. But we don't dwell in it. We let it run through us. Because it is a sad time. I've been thinking a lot of things today. I'm thinking about the loss of my mother. It's been an exact year to the date. Yes, she decided to transition last year this time, April 5th, 2019. But you know, that was her choice. And the blessing is that she's not here during this time, because I'd be in Virginia and she'd be up in New York City, and with all that's happening up there, I would be on the phone calling her all day and night, worried, sick about her. So her time of transition was right on time, you know. We don't know why things happen the way they happen, but I've learned that we plan and the Creator plans, but the Creator is the best of all planners. And as things go, nothing happens by chance. It happens because it is meant to happen at the time that it happens. And we don't know why it happened until we know why it happened. So my heart is heavy. Because she is gone, but then I have to be at peace knowing that she's not suffering through the challenges of this, and I'm not suffering through the worry I would have for her if she was still here. Look at all the worries going on. I mean, people have family members who are dying, and they can't be with them as they transition over because it's a contagious disease that's captured or caught on to their loved ones. And so they're having to stand back and know that the person is gone and there's nothing they can do about it, and they can't be with them to even hold their hand as they transition. Excuse me. So, you know, we have a lot to we have a lot to be conscious of, but there's nothing that we can do. And so many of us who are in recovery, we cling to that serenity prayer. You know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You know, there is got to be some light at the end of this tunnel that we seem to feel so much darkness surrounding us in. Look at the persons who are incarcerated in the prisons. They're on lockdown and have been locked down for a long time. You know, they can't step outside on their back porch and bounce a ball. They can't take a walk around their community anytime they feel like it. Mask or no mask. And we have to understand that we're getting ready to experience what I believe will be mass burials. How are they going to dispose of all of those bodies that have decided to transition, those souls have been had decided to give up that physical form? What are you going to do? What are we going to do? Like the plagues of olden days, you're just going to have to cremate all of them. They'll all be cremated. It's amazing the challenges that we're facing at this time. But we need to understand that the masters, some of the ascended masters, some of the elders that have come through and been willing to channel through people or select persons to channel through, many of them see this as an economic disease. You know, we look at the airlines and how they cramp people in, you know, side by side, you know, barely enough leg room so that they can make the as much money as they possibly can. You know, we have those children that are still at the borders or scattered all over the United States of America without benefit of being with their parents during this time, not knowing if they're going to live or die or their parents have lived or died. I was laughing the other day because here we have, I was talking to my sister, and we were trying to figure out how we were going to cover our faces, and she was saying how her daughter saw a woman with her nose and only her eyes showing, just her nose and her mouth covered up. And so her daughter, who's a Muslim, said, "Assalamu alaikum," to the woman. And the woman looked at her, "I'm not a Muslim. You know, I'm covered up because of the virus." So now you can't be making fun or be criticizing all those Muslim women that was walking around with their burqas on their faces. Why? Because we all going to look like Muslims with only our eyes showing. We might need to figure out a way to cover our eyes because, remember, some of them, they have their faces all the way covered and all you see is their eye or not even their eyes. And but the material is awesome because you can see through that material. Even though you can't see in, they can see out. So even the eyes are covered. So we're all walking around looking like Muslims. So we have this disease of economy, the economics of this thing. Who are the people on the front lines? The people who make the least amount of money. You know, I mean, I give credence or give credit to your doctors and your nurses and your hospital workers, and the maintenance people that keep all of this stuff clean. And then you have your grocery store workers, the people who you don't want to give them more than the minimum wage to keep them, you know, to keep them going during regular times. You have your delivery persons, you know. You're looking at these people that collect all these high rents from people. Well, these people don't have jobs. They can't pay their rent. So now, I remember back in the Nation of Islam times when my name was Yolanda X instead of Duchess, and Malcolm X was doing all of his speeches. I remember back then when we were trained and we were taught that a time would come where there would be a limited amount of food to go around, and so we were taught to eat one meal a day. I remember one of the ministers saying that the day will come when the mountains will be leveled to meet the earth, meaning that these highfalutin corporations and people with all the money who want to hoard the money and want to keep the money from the masses and don't want to take care of those who are down the earth, they're going to be leveled and chiseled down to meet the earth. So now a lot know what it means to not have a job. Now a lot of people know what it means not to have medical coverage. And this is not to say that I be gloating. I mean, you know, society had to be awakened. Some reality had to hit. And I'm telling you that if this is not a lesson learned, then we're going to go through something even deeper, harder, graver. You know, if you don't learn your lesson the first time around, it comes around to hit you even harder. So how many lessons does our society have to have in order for us to learn how to love one another, you know, how to feel that no man is an island, no man stands alone, that each man's joy is joy to me, and each man's grief is my own. We need one another, so I will defend each man as my brother and each man as my friend. I learned that when I was in elementary school. And then it goes on to say, I saw the people gather, I heard the children start. The song that they were singing is ringing in my heart. No man is an island. No man stands alone. Okay? So what's this thing about toilet paper going? Everybody thinks people are hoarding the toilet paper. Well, I just read something today. Said it's not. Some people may be hoarding it and trying to stockpile it, but that's not the reason why you can't find any toilet paper. They said 40% more toilet paper is being used because everyone is at home. Everybody's at home. You know, we used to use toilet paper when you were in school, when you were at college, work, hotels, in airports. You see all them airports, the restrooms, public places, office buildings. People are at home, so they're using more toilet tissue. And so if you want to find toilet paper, you got to go to one of them office buildings that's on lockdown and go into all of their bathrooms and in their storage closets, and you'll find the toilet paper. But what they're saying is that the toilet paper that's made for industry is not the same kind of pretty soft tissue paper that's made for our use. And the rolls are different. You know how you have them big, gigantic bulk rolls in the bathroom? Well, that's what they made. That's made for industry. That's not made for us to bring home. So that's why it looks like toilet paper is being hoarded. You can't find any because it's being used more at the home level than it ever was before. So that's your little funny for the day. So now that we've had our little funny and I've given my memory to my mother, love you, Mommy, wherever you are. Well, I know where you are, you know, because you were a blessing to behold. Okay, why don't we start with Uma? I love that lady. Uma is my spiritual mentor, and I had class yesterday, and we had class online. It was a Zoom class. And I've always asked permission if I can share some of the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of my classes in brief. And I really try to take notes so that I can share with you the next day and don't stumble and stammer over the things that I'm trying to convey to you that I learned in class. Well, we learned the difference between the American modern biochemical medicine and the naturopath medicines and traditional Chinese medicines, and we move right into Ayurveda. And Ayurveda is considered the highest energetic pattern of health and disease. It believes developing consciousness in people is essential to their health and well-being. Ayurveda is based on spiritual value and sees the attainment of a higher state of consciousness as more important than health or longevity. So that's what we did. We talked about Ayurveda, and we talked about the state of what she called the Grunas. And I'm not going to go into all of that. You have to look this up yourself. And then it talked about the fact that there are three body types that that you fall into, and sometimes you can fall into all three, depending upon what your body makeup is. And there's the Pitta, there's Vata, and there's Kapha. Pitta is fire, and that Pitta means that which digests things, and Kapha is water, that which holds things together, and Vata is the energy dosha. That's right, they're called doshas. Okay, and we learned that it's vital to keep in balance because if you're off balance, though that's what causes you to have your physical illnesses. Now, Uma, don't listen to this broadcast, and nobody in my class listen to this broadcast and say, wow, Duchess, where did you get that from? You're all stumbling and stammering, because I have a homework assignment that I have to do, and I better know this at least by the end of class, the end of the whole entire lesson in June, because I'm going to have to give I'm going to have to give a speech on this. I'm going to have to convey what I learned. Well, I was able to do my own dosha and check out and find out what I am, who I am, and what my body type is. And I'm 10% Vata, I'm 40% Pitta, and 50% Kapha. Now, Kaphas really, 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 really are your folks that tend to just like, they're like your teddy bears of life. They like to sleep. They think food is good. And they need more Vata and more Pitta. I need to move more. I need to do more. I need to change maybe my eating habits so that if I enjoy food, I need to eat food that's more oriented to one of the other doshas, so that I'm just not so kapha-oriented and wind up being big as a house, because we coughers, we can grow exponentially. So I learned about how to create my dosha schedule, and I'm going to make sure that when I do my schedule, I'm going to put times in when I should be walking, times in when I should be meditating, times in when I should be eating, times in when I shouldn't be eating. And I did learn one thing that I'm going to try my best to hold fast to, especially during this time, because I want to ration the food in my apartment. I'm going to not eat anything after 6 p.m. at night, and that's going to be a challenge for me. But if I could give up coffee for Lent, I can give up eating or not eating past 6 o'clock. It's just going to take a little bit of willpower. All righty. The next thing we talked about or we learned about was yoga and the 8 limbs of yoga. And I'm not going to get into that because that would be a lot of talking. And if you're interested in the 8 limbs of yoga, yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. Great. And then we talked about meditating, and it was just a wonderful class. It was a wonderful class, and I enjoyed so much. And hopefully some of you in the future will decide to do something like that. Okay, let's talk about channeling. Uma channels and gets messages from the elders. And I love her channeling, and I like to watch how they grow. And I'm going to give you three channelings. And then we're going to move into Jeffrey Hothby's channeling from Adama Saint Germain, and then I'm going to give you a reading from the book, the Crimson Circles book, Masters in the New Energy. I must have read this about 5 years ago, but the time is right now, and I believe over the next couple of shows, we're going to do readings out of the book, Masters in the New Energy, by Adama Saint Germain, channeled through Jeffrey Hoppe. Okay, first Umas, message from the elders. Now, this message was given about a week or so ago, or 2 weeks ago, on the 21st. Dearest children of the earth, as the days we are on and the virus spreads, as it was called to do, you have begun the questioning phase of what this is all about. In your human efforts to understand this, you have begun to gather in groups and lend thought energy to emerging leads that seem to have sustenance but fall apart upon further inspection. Some say it is a Chinese virus that was meant to destroy other nations. Why then did it devastate the Chinese economy as well? Excuse me. Some say it is a virus that is weather-related and can only thrive in cold climates. Why is it in warmer climate areas then, too? This pandemic you are now facing is not nation-related or weather-related. We want you to think, what if it is heart-related? The lungs, which are the most affected part of the human body, is ruled by your heart chakra. The heart chakra was given to you to flow love unconditionally for yourselves and others. How many of you have blocked heart chakras and not taken time to heal? Unwilling to give love and hold grudges. Unwilling to receive love and stay the victim. Unwilling to love within yourself but look to others. Unwilling to find love within yourself but look to others. Unwilling to accept love even when it is offered. All this unwillingness has led to blocked heart chakras that then affect the lungs. Pay attention to your breath. Your breath shows your heart chakra wellness. Do you have trouble breathing in or out or both? If you have trouble breathing in, do you have trouble receiving love? If you have trouble breathing out, do you have trouble sharing love? There is no judgment here for you, only compassion and understanding. The older population was the first to go because as you get older, it is harder to let go of past pain and hurt. Now that refusal to let go is damaging. As you witness, the most protected generation seems to be the children. Why? Because the children haven't learned yet how to withhold love and truth. They are as authentic and real as we desire you to be. The young men and women who are no longer invincible to this virus, because it seems the newer generations are learning from a younger age how to make love conditional. They have worked out a barter system for exchanging love, and now love infrequently flows between them. Can you see now with clarity and ease how you feel affects everything? Your scientists and medical professionals are correct. You need to self-protect. Stay indoors and have a strong immune system to survive this. What better time than now to boost your immune system? Learn to love yourself and forgive yourself of all your past mistakes. You are human and you are prone to imperfection, which is perfectly fine. Learn to love others and hold space for them instead of judgment when they too fall short. They are, after all, only human as well. We will continue to share messages for many. It will continue to fall on deaf ears. That is quite common. Our goal here is to only provide another perspective to your thought processes. We ask that you only go within yourself to see the validity in the light of what we share. Do you see it now? Many light and love blessings sent to you, and understand we are watching and holding space for your whole global community. We already know you will come out of this soon. Our hope is that you understand the implications of a life lived without love and what damage it can cause. So that was one message from the elders. And they're saying that this virus is a virus of the heart chakra. No love. Our breath, our breathing that feeds our lungs is governed by our heart chakra. Then Uma shared one. Shared one on the 25th, and at that time it had been the largest death toll for the United States. And the elders, as she channeled the elders, they came through and they said, for those of you who have trouble sleeping last night and for those of you who had trouble sleeping since this ordeal, meditate on this. On a subconscious level, you are either grieving with the souls and their loved ones, loss, which means you're exercising mediumship, or you are lending your energy to the planet for recovery. That's healing. You will know which you gravitate to by your nature. If you love psychic mediumship work, love spirit, and have psychic phenomena happen to you, you are holding space for souls. If you are in the healing arts, love earths and animals, or a strong empath, you are helping to heal. Don't ever assume this world can work on its own. We need each other, and we are called when it is our time. You assume that when you are called, you have conscious knowledge about it. This is not true. Your conscious realm is more vast and available to us than your conscious mind. Our sacred contract will be honored, and so we pull you from your sleep to do the work you promised to do. So the next time you awake from your sleep, say a prayer for the souls or the earth or both. Meditate and send energy. We are in a beautiful place of telepathy now. The whole earth is working together again like we used to. So you must remember this. And Uma's last channeling was just 3 days ago. 3 days ago. 3 days ago. Here you go. Channeled messages from the elders through Uma. Ha! We understand that many of you grapple with the question why, as in why did this happen? And why didn't I get warned? Or why was I not prepared by my spirit guides? The truth is you were. You all were. However, what you perceive to be messages and signs is far different from what they actually are. Let's take, for instance, Uma. We warned her for many years, and as a result of listening, she was prepared. Did we tell her there was going to be a viral condition that would lock down the entire globe? No. We did not want to upset her, as we do not want to upset you. People of human origin tend to react with fear rather than sense. So our messages to you have been gentle, little nudges that long ago didn't make sense, but thanks to your faith and trust, make sense now. For Uma, those little nudges came to her and were honored by her as, why don't you build a deck behind your house to get the sun? Don't make any travel plans for 2020. It's a year to stay home. Or don't commit to any retreats, plans with others. Play it by ear. Take your business online this time. After your surgery, leave the hospital immediately after your surgery. It's not safe for you. Buy groceries for a month. You will be home more. The death toll will be unmanageable. Be prepared to say goodbye to your own loved ones. Now, those messages were delivered to her since last summer, and faithfully, she has followed through on each one, even to the last one, as your country now enters the worst of it. She has not wavered in her faith and trust. So we ask you, can you remember how those little nudges we have given you over the past few months or even years? Can you see how we have been there all this time, watching and waiting and advising as best we can? You were never alone. You were never alone then, and you are not alone now. Even in your isolation, we are with you, watching, waiting, and advising as best we can. So hear us to quieten, to hear us is to quiet the world around you. To know us is to know your origin. To feel us is to surrender. The time has come for many to journey home, and trust us when we say we will be there for them as well. None of your loved ones will be afraid or alone. We are ready and here to take them to a place of eternal rest and relief. So trust us. So how many of you got those little quickenings? You know, you were annoyed by certain things that were happening in your life, and you wished they could be different, but they weren't. And you wanted to not be miserable, but you were miserable. But it all worked out in the long run because you didn't know why you had to do what you had to do until you knew why you had to do what you had done. I didn't want to leave my job last year. I wasn't ready to retire. I loved my job. But something in me said I didn't need to work there anymore. I mean, it was just something that I just needed to do. And that's what I did. So last year, this time, March the 29th, I decided to retire. Imagine if I was still working at UPS handling all those nasty, filthy boxes. I see the drivers rolling around now. Suppose I had to leave my house at 6 o'clock every evening and go down to work in a warehouse full of boxes coming in from all over the world. I remember when I moved into my apartment. I loved my other apartment. But because they didn't do fumigation right over there, I said, this is the end. I'm not staying here. And I moved into this apartment, and I wasn't really happy with this apartment because this apartment had a turnaround feel to me. It was almost like a mirror to the other apartment, but not as comfortable feeling. And I remember the thought passing my mind, because now I have a balcony. When I moved in here, I said, well, you know, the one thing good about this apartment is, I can go outside without leaving my apartment. And I had to push that thought away because I knew that I could become a recluse and really decide to just hang around in my apartment and watch movies and not go anywhere and get big as a house and eat all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But I'm in a predicament now with all of this pandemic stuff where I can literally go outside without leaving my apartment. So I was pushed to move here. It's amazing. How about those of us who were back in the day, let's say in the 60s, early 70s, Nation of Islam, we were taught to eat one meal a day. How about rationing our meals now? Eating to live rather than living to eat. You know, going to the fast food stores, too lazy to cook. The other day I diced up some, a block of turkey ham, and I made myself a big old huge gigantic pot of bean soup, and half of it I put in the freezer. So there are some instances where no matter how far back in the past we can go, there were things that were being laid in place to present themselves for our well-being today, even if it was just some knowledge we gained along the way. But the one thing we're going to have to understand, that the only thing that's going to turn this madness around is love. And that seems like such an insignificant thing. But the virus is looking for grumpy grouchy, okay? Take heart. It's your heart chakra that's going to heal the face of this earth. And we need to be aware of that. So we've talked about a little bit about what Uma had to say. And now let's see what Adamus has to say. Now, Adamus had a lot to say, and I do hope we have enough time to give a reading from the actual book, Masters in the New Energy. Adamus says, well, Adamus is a spiritual entity, an ascended master, and Adamus is channeled through Saint Germain. And in the beginning of the show, I let everybody know that I'm going to give you some spiritual perspectives on this matter, not religious perspectives, like Uma channeled the elders with a message to us all. So does Adamus Saint Germain channels through Jeffrey Hoppe, just like Kryon is channeled by Lee Carroll. But Lee Carroll hasn't had any channelings for a while, and I don't understand why. I gave you his channeling last show when we talked about the coronavirus and its start from Kryon. So let's see what Adamus has to say while we have a little bit of time left. Adamus says, I want you to just stop and say, I am abundant, and I allow abundance. You don't have to know anything about making money. You don't have to have a high-paying job. You don't even have to quit the job you have now. But then the mind says, well, that's nice talk, but the reality is, and you can think of whatever you want your reality to be is, the reality is what you want it to be, not necessarily what you think it to be. So you shift your whole perspective about abundance and about this economy. You know, what really makes the world move are the small companies, starting with the farmers and then going to the small shop owners and the small entrepreneurs and the small inventors and creators. That's the real movement. Have y'all noticed that? It's the store clerks, the grocery store clerks that are stocking those shelves every night so that we can find food the next day. It's your delivery drivers, you know, these young people driving these Uber cars like my granddaughter to go shopping for senior citizens and handicapped people and even lazy people who are scared to go to the grocery store. So she's out there going to the store and delivering food to your door. These are the people that people don't want to give. They don't want to give them a decent paying wage. Well, when a delivery person comes to my door, I'm going to give them a decent paying tip. So remember that when you're having stuff delivered to you, that the person that's delivering that food to you is risking their life to get it to you because they need some money to survive off themselves. Remember this. So the planet was kind of due for an economic adjustment. Not talking about the stock market crashing, talking about an economic adjustment. You know, like people out there, you know, needing health care. People don't have jobs and they're having to not be able to pay all that high rent. I remember back in the time of the Nation of Islam, there was a teaching that I heard that said in the end times, the mountains shall be leveled to the earth. So all those highfalutin people up there in the mountaintop going to come down to the earth. Well, we the earth, they the mountaintop, and they being leveled, just chiseled down ever so slightly, ever so, nope, they getting ready. They meeting a crash. So talking about an adjustment. Nearly every company on the planet right now has to stop and take a look and say, what do we do? What do we do if we can't get goods from China or India? Nearly every company, at least in the Western world, is having to stop and take a look and say, what if? So that's really actually, in a way, kind of incredible, don't you think? Because it's causing this consciousness focus. Most people don't know it's about money or the economy, but they know they have to stop and do something. It's going to affect businesses more than anything. Now, first of all, take an assessment of your own abundance level. Does it need a virus to move? Does it need a virus to move in to shake things up? Are you truly allowing abundance, or are you still playing the victim? Are you truly opening and allowing abundance? And then what next? What else is happening with this whole virus thing? I don't even want to go to what next yet. I want to talk about, are you truly opening and allowing abundance? Now, what we need to do when we look at that instance, we need to start, get out them journals and start writing a gratitude list, you know, because my pantry is beginning to get limited, but I got a gratitude list going. I'm grateful for that can of peas that I couldn't stand to eat. I can't stand peas. My sister knows I can't stand peas. Ooh, I can't stand peas. But they can be pureed, and I can make me some split pea soup out of those peas. So we need to start looking at what are the things we are grateful for and know that we have an abundance to be grateful for. It doesn't have to be money. What are you grateful for? So let's go on to this next thing. What else is happening with this whole virus thing? Adamus Fields is kind of interesting. Adamus Fields is kind of fascinating. He says it's causing people to stay home. Stay home. People stay home, canceling travel plans, not going to meetings, not even wanting to go out to the store, any place where there's a gathering, sports gatherings or anything like that. You know, I noticed one of the things that I did back in February is where I decided I could have paid it. You know, I could have invested $1,500 towards my trip to Africa in October, but something told me, no, you don't want to do that. You're just not ready to go to Africa. Thank goodness, because I may not have been able to get my money back. You know, some of the things that pop into our head, Spirit knows what we don't know before we know what we don't know until we know what we don't know. So you're going to find a lot more people sitting at home watching TV. They're going to be watching Netflix or just sitting on a computer creating more drama about the coronavirus. I was on Zoom the other day in a AA meeting, and I'm going to tell you, it was phenomenal. I went to an AA meeting, and there were 101 people in there. And then I went to an all-women's meeting, and what began to happen was a whole lot of hackers hacked into the meeting, and you had kids showing their braces on camera, right up into the camera. You had kids, I mean, they were walking around naked on purpose just so you could, I mean, it was just horrible. So you got a lot of people still wanting to create drama. It's causing people to have to stay home and kind of cocooning at time, you know? But then there are some of them that are out there that's trying to just cause a lot of problems. They just don't know what to do with themselves. So what you're also seeing is a kind of a side effect from a lot of people staying home. And they're going to be doing a little bit of office work, but not as much as normal. They have this extra time, and a lot of them are going to be bored. Instead of using that extra time to do something for their health, walk, exercise, you know, you can go to YouTube, and they have all kinds of exercises. I did a YouTube senior stretch because I was so stuck in this chair trying to plan for the show that I felt all tight. And I YouTube senior stretch, so I stretched the arms and the legs and all of that. You know, people need to do something for their well-being and their spiritual being. They're going to sit at home being really bored and creating drama, arguing, fussing with each other, when there's so many other things that you can go off in a room and do. So that's what you have to work forward to between now and probably the end of summer, maybe a little bit beyond that. For spiritual workers and healers, you've been staying at home a lot more anyway. And when Adonis says staying at home, not just your physical home, but you've been going inward for years now. As you come into your realization, you've been staying inward. You've already been avoiding the crowds, and most awakened persons really don't have a big desire to go to sports events with 30, 40,000 people there. We cringe at the thought. I know I do. Yeah, we cringe at the thought. I'm not going to any rock concerts and be with all those people. So, Adama says you've been staying at home. You've been kind of cocooning for a long time now, a very long time now. So what are we going to do with all this cocooning and all this staying home? What does it mean to you? And what type of personal implications are there? Well, first of all, you've been asked over and over about your commitment to realization. It's no small thing because it comes first in your life before anything, before family, before jobs, before anything. Adonis says that's a tough one for most people. They're not used to putting themselves first, and they feel guilty about it. But you've been asked over and over, are you going to put your realization first? You cannot go into enlightenment, into realization, if you're putting others first. it won't work. No, it simply doesn't work. And then this guilt feeling, but my family and my friends, that stuff comes up. How is your commitment to your realization? How is it? Is it there? Are you ready? So it's about a huge commitment that's taking place, but right now the contradiction is you're going to feel the most doubt ever. The most doubt ever. That's what happens right before realization. Inside, any doubts that you carry are going to come up. So you're asked, for the next 6 months, when that doubt comes up, don't fight it. Don't try to mentally justify it or beat it down. Just realize it's an old doubt. It's mass consciousness trying to pull you back in. It's part of yourself that's so used to 1,000 lifetimes on the planet that saying, am I really, really ready? You're going to feel a lot of doubt and actually feel into it. Don't run from it. How about you dive into it? Feel it. Because in everything, whether it's doubt or joy, whether it's happiness, or fear, it's ultimately brought you to some wisdom. It ultimately serves you. So, sweet, sweet peas out there, don't be afraid of it. Now is the time just to have absolute trust. And before we go, let's see if I can give you that reading on trust. How fast can I read? From the Crimson Circle, Adamus says, first and foremost, above all, the single grandest principle of being a master is trust in self. Trust. It is the essence of what I am reading. Humans have lost trust with themselves. It is like they are living in a nightmare and have isolated themselves in a tiny, tiny little room. They do not trust their bodies. They only trust a small portion of their mind, and they have little or no trust in their spirit. Humans place their trust in everything outside of them, and even that changes frequently because as soon as humans learn to trust something outside of them, they quickly learn to distrust it, for they learn that it is not necessarily built on a platform of perfection. They learn that the pedestal can come tumbling down at any time, and this causes them to trust even less. So you can take your leaders, for instance. A new leader comes along, you're excited, you have hope, you feel that change is imminent. But as this leader comes to represent the overall consciousness of humanity, or that land, or that particular village, you soon learn that this leader is as prone to mistakes as you. Perhaps this leader doesn't have any more vision than you. Perhaps they are caught up in some type of scandal with drugs or sex or money, these things that have to do with power. Once again, your level of trust crashes until you find somebody new who promises something, somebody else who you can temporarily trust. So over the course of many, many years, many, many lifetimes, you have fallen out of trust with yourself as well as with things outside of you. The masters trust themselves implicitly. The master understands and trust their body more, for they know that the body is designed to heal and repair itself in miraculous ways. But you have fallen out of trust. You put your trust in some doctor, some clinic, and some healer, but they don't trust themselves either. And then it perpetuates this whole thing of mistrust. Goes on and on and on. Perhaps you try to be psychic or intuitive, but the answer doesn't always come back the way that you think it should. Perhaps it isn't the correct answer, or at least what you think would be correct. And then you don't trust your own inner feelings or your own inner guidance either. So what do? You pray. You pray to some unknown God. You pray to angels. You pray to Tobias and so on and so on. You pray to these beings who do you hear, who love you, but who cannot do it for you. They can only support your decisions and your choices. So you fall out of trust with the things in the other realms, with spirit. And each time you fall out of trust, you isolate yourself, and more you restrict your energy flow. Instead of allowing a lot of life-giving energy, you come in and pass through you. You allow only a small amount, only enough to sustain you, to barely get you by. You only let in enough to allow you to survive and exist. The master of the new energy trusts everything about themselves. Perhaps that may sound easy, but it can't be very, but it can be very challenging. Take a deep breath. Do it right now. Take it. How much do you trust yourself? Nobody else. Yourself. Do you trust your body to heal itself? To rebalance itself when disease comes in? Do you trust your body to serve you each day without rebelling, without fighting back? Without dying off? Probably not. Very, very few humans do. Do you trust your mind? Do you trust your mind to have access to the answers you need for everyday life? To be able to bring through any information that you need? Do you trust your mind to give you information that you've never even studied about? That you've never known before? Your mind can do that because, through your spirit, your mind has access to the universal library where all things exist that have ever been known and ever been created. Your mind isn't just limited to itself and what you have studied. It is a processor of all information. Do you realize now, right now, if you totally trusted your mind, you could have access to very deep and complex mathematical formulas, and you could actually understand them. You could have access to the understanding of the space between the space, to what happens in the interdimensional levels. You could have an intellectual understanding of all of these things if you truly trusted your mind. But you have blocked off your mind. You have limited it, rejected it, and put walls and barriers and roadblocks along the way. You thought it was your mind driving you crazy. You thought it was your mind that was betraying you, so you have closed it off. Do you trust your spirit? Sitting right here in this moment, do you trust your own spirit? Would you give your life to your spirit right now? Probably not. You may give it to, I guess, people who believe in Jesus. You know, I mean, you would give your life. But what would you give? Would you give your life and your existence to your soul, your eternal life, to your own spirit right now? Probably not, because you don't even know what your spirit is, much less what your soul is. You feel that your spirit has never truly been there for you when you have called upon it, when you've cried out at night to your spirit, to your God, it hasn't been there. It doesn't speak a language. It doesn't have arms or hands. It doesn't perform miracles in the way you would like. So you've learned not to trust even your spirit. Plus you've been trained and educated and controlled in believing that you will not reunite with your spirit until you die. So you've shut the door on that part of you. You have shut out your own spirit. So, what do you have left? Little or no trust in your body, in your mind, in your spirit, and actually deep and underlying distrust of God, because the God that you were taught about in your early years was angry, was judgmental, and didn't answer your calls for help. So what do you have left? Very, very little. You live a little small existence. There are only a few parts of you that you have learned to trust somewhat. You know you can get yourself up in the morning for the most part. You know that you can get yourself to work, maybe. You know you can feed yourself, but you don't even trust what you're eating. You know you can get by in a very limited way, but you are afraid to truly open up to the grand potentials that exist because you don't trust yourself. The master comes to trust themselves at every conceivable level without outside help, without outside intervention, and that takes a bold, daring, and courageous move. Having implicit trust in yourself takes courage beyond anything that you have done in human life before. This trust alone is the greatest part of being a master, for it is this trust in self that will result in all of the other things that we're going to talk about relating to mastery. But you must cross the bridge of trust in self first. Take a deep breath. You can't force yourself to trust yourself. You can't demand it. You can't work out a program or a plan or a method for it. It just happens when you choose it. Perhaps it will be step by step, degree by degree, but you're going to find that this is the grandest, most profound thing you have ever done. This coming back to trust yourself, this coming back to trust in you, this coming back into trust with yourself. And so Adamus is. And with that, it's been real. It's been real. I'm exhausted. I spent a lot of time online the last past week, meetings and classes, and it's been fun. A lot of it's been fun. I've grown immensely. I mean, you know, I've just grown. I've gone to meetings with 101 people all the way in California. They're in California, and then you find people were there from Michigan and all over the place. And so I'm not really meeting these people, but I'm feeling their energy, and they're keeping me up. I get online with my friends, and we play charades on Zoom. And what I'm getting ready to try and do, I have a Zoom account. I'm going to see if I can organize a family Zoom meet so I can see my family members' faces. I just want to see somebody. Somebody that I know, instead of all these other strange people, you know, around the world. I want to see some love. I want to get some love through this monitor in front of me. Well, with that, I'm going to go. I'm going to say I love everyone. I'm glad for those of you who are on lockdown with family, even though sometimes being on lockdown with family doesn't seem like a very, 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 you know, comfortable thing or exciting thing to have. I know there's a lot of people that wish they were in my apartment and me all by yourself, but that gets old too, you know, because even though I like being in my apartment alone, I like being able to go out and seeing people and then coming back and getting away from them and being in my apartment alone. But, yeah, everybody is where they're supposed to be. It doesn't matter. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. And if you look at it hard enough, deep enough, you'll see that that's what it is. You'll know. You'll see the blessing in it. Even though it's challenging, you'll see the blessing in it. And like Mother used to say, Quran says, nothing happens by chance. And you're where you're supposed to be, or you would be someplace else. So with that, I'm going to say good night, and I'm going to say I love you. I love all of you. I see you online, and I'm sending you hugs, kisses, and stay healthy and stay alive, because I sure want to see everybody when this is over, and I want to see everybody is still with me, and I'm still with you. So be safe. Stay blessed. And good night. Mwah. Smooches.